morning, guys. How's everybody doing this morning? All right, doing okay. It's so good to see you guys. It's good to be in the house of God today. I just wanted to thank you guys so much for being here. Again, Pastor Lance said it earlier, but my name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel Community Church. And the world is still crazy. Everybody say amen. But Wakanda forever. Amen, right? So we are in our series called We Are Family, and we have been diving into this whole idea of what it means to be a spiritual family. I just want you guys, if you could, open up your Bible. We're going to dive into the Word of God today, and we're going to begin in 2 Samuel. If you've got a Bible, if you've got a digital Bible, I'd love for you to actually see what I'm about to read, and it would be great if you could even take this after church sometimes throughout the week and actually read through these chapters that we're going to peruse through in the Bible today. And while you're going there, while you're opening that up, just wanted to let you know that when we were praying this morning, I expressly felt that God was saying that it is a good idea that you came today. If you're watching online, it's a very good thing that you are watching today, because God does have a plan, and today is part of the plan of God for your life. We come to church every single week, but I felt distinctly the impression that I needed to let you know that today is part of the plan of God for your life. Everybody say amen. So we're going to read the word, and we're going to pray, and we're going to dive into what God's got for us today. This is 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. This is about King David. It says, "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem." Father, help us today as we open up your word. Help us to understand, God, through the example of David's life, what you are crystal clearly speaking to us today. And we ask, God, for your guidance. We ask for your wisdom. Open our eyes to see ourselves in the pages of Scripture, to see ourselves through the life of David today. And we pray that through it all, Jesus, you would get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, guys, there's a lot of new things that are about to happen in the next few days, in the next few weeks. It's almost like a new season is upon us. School is starting back in Montgomery County tomorrow, and it's going to look like no other school season we have ever seen before in our life. My son recently began school about 2 weeks ago. He had been homeschooled like all their other children have, but this year we decided to make a small change, and our son was going to school for the very first time. And we were so kind of worried about how it was going to go. Was he going to make friends? And I just wanted to let you guys know, after 3 days, he made this new friend named Ben to help him navigate the uncharted waters of second grade. Because think about how that would be if you, first time going to school, didn't know anybody from Adam, and then you're asked to be a part of this school system, this school process, with nobody there. Imagine how alone you would feel. Maybe you started a new job, or you've gone into, if you've gone from middle school to high school, from high school to college, or you've gone from being active duty to now you're retired. Think about the change and how isolating that could potentially feel. No matter if you're 7 years old or 77 years old, that kind of transition is difficult. But the thing that I do know is that God made his greatest creation, us, people. And he said, it is not good that we would be alone. And the thing about that eternal truth is we cannot change God's perspective on doing life with other people. It's because God designed it that way. We cannot stray away from that design. Even though sometimes we would rather be alone. Some people say amen to that. Sometimes we want to get away from it because some people are crazy, aren't they? We just need to be by ourselves. Matter of fact, there's a whole television show about this. One of my friends here at Bethel loves this show called Alone. Anybody ever seen that or heard of that before? And basically they drop these people off in the middle of nowhere and they have to like survive with their own instincts. And it's basically like, it's like the anti-social paradise. You get to be away from everybody for weeks and weeks at a time. And the thing that's interesting about that is because COVID-19 is still among us, many of us have isolated ourselves. Even in the body of church, there was this whole period. You guys remember that for several months, we did not go to church. And essentially we were asked and we were mandated and we were told that it's best if we isolate. And many people are even right now watching us online and they're isolating because of health issues or because of what could happen. And they don't want to get their loved one infected with some kind of pandemic that we've got. But think about it like this. The world has told us to scatter, but God has called us to gather. He's called us to gather with one another. You know, a couple of weeks ago, last Sunday, I wasn't in church, and it marked the 9th anniversary of my brother's death. He died 9 years ago, and to be honest, there's things that happen in our life that cause us to want to isolate. They cause us to want to remove ourselves. Maybe it's a depression. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one or a job or a bad financial situation or a bad relationship thing. It causes us to want to isolate and to get away from people. And I just wanted to let you know that that can be a very dangerous thing in your life. And we're going to take a look at the life of King David. And this is going to help set up what I believe God is going to minister to us today. You know, I love the life of King David. If you've ever read through the Bible, he's one of the most interesting characters in the Bible. He was really a guy. He really lived. He had extreme highs and he had extreme lows. There was so much about his life that could be studied and taught over. But I also wanted to let you know that we don't just read the good things in life. We don't just read the good things about a person's life to get the full story. I was thinking this week, what if we only knew the good things about David? What if we read the Bible and we just took out all the parts that we didn't want to know? And it would look like this. There was a boy who was anointed king. He killed a bear and a lion. He was victorious over an enemy giant. He won a war single-handedly. He gained territories for his beloved country. He won battles. He loved God. And when he died, he saw his son take the throne, and he would be the wisest person who ever lived. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, that's the way I would like my story to start and end, but that is not reality. Sometimes when you see people on social media, that's what their life looks like. They see only the good stuff. Man, I got the job. I got the promotion. We had the baby. I got married. Everything's great. Look at the meal I bought. You don't have one like this. It's great. We always present that great side of life, and nobody puts the bad stuff. Somebody say amen. Nobody live streams their kids screaming in unison. That hat. You don't do that, do you? Because you just want to project the good things in life. It'd be amazing if social media kept it real. That would be a little scary, wouldn't it? Now, I just want to read this scripture again in 2 Samuel. We're going to kind of break this down. It says, it happened in the spring of the year. There was a time when kings went out to go to battle. But there's a lot about this scripture that is unsaid that we have to talk about. It says that David, he didn't go himself as king. He sent another person in his stead, in his place. Joab and his servants went with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon, besieged Rabbah, and David remained in Jerusalem. So what exactly was going on with David? David was out of place. He was out of position. He was out of proximity. He abdicated his role as king. There was this position that he had. He was supposed to be out there with his soldiers. He was supposed to be with them. But he decided to send somebody else. Now, the thing that's interesting about this is they still won the battle. They still accomplished what would have been accomplished if he had been with them. And it kind of makes me think that David, he mistook victory for success. Y'all like that? I'll say it again. He mistook victory for success. Think about it like this. You can be winning at work. You can get the promotion. You can get the job. You can get the degree. You can pass everything with flying colors. You can get promoted after promoted. You can do well in your finances. You can have a goal. I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I retire. And you may knock that out of the park. But then there's other areas of your life that are utterly failing. You may have a goal and you're so tunnel visioned into achieving that goal. He said, I don't care if I have to stay away from my family. I don't care if I have to stop going to church. I'm going to reach my goal. But at what cost? At what expense? See, David, he took his relationship with God for granted. He let his guard down. I want us all to kind of see ourselves as we examine the life of David just for a moment. Think about how God is speaking to you as we discuss this. See, he took his previous success for granted. David put his life on autopilot. He thought that because he was God's anointed and that he had won battle after battle. Think about it. David was a bad boy. As a young man, he killed a bear. Now, I've been to the Smoky Mountains. Black bears run faster than humans and they climb trees. There's not a lot I can do to a bear. David took it out. He took out a lion. He was gifted in so many ways. And it makes me think, why did he stay back when he should have been gone? See, previous success is not always an indication of future success. Just like, praise God, past failures are not a predictor of future failures. Can somebody say amen to that? So why didn't David go? I spent a lot of time thinking about all the different reasons. Why didn't he go? Maybe he was bored. Maybe he had been king for so long. Maybe he just got complacent with success. Maybe he was grieving. Many of you guys know he had a best friend named Jonathan that died in battle. Maybe he was grieving. Maybe, and you may or may not know, he had a tumultuous relationship with his dad. There was a time we'll talk about in a little bit later that he was rejected by his father. Maybe he was still dealing with that inwardly. Maybe he was lonely. Has anybody ever been lonely? I tell you what, in Clarksville, Tennessee, how many would hold up their hand and say, I'm originally from Clarksville, Tennessee? That means most of y'all are not from here, which means that you moved from somewhere else, which means at some point in your life here in Clarksville and maybe even today, you're inwardly lonely. Maybe success was his enemy. See, David had always been an underdog, but at this point in his life, everything was good. Sometimes we can flourish in dysfunction. And when things are normal, it gets weird. It's kind of like if you've had bad relationship after bad relationship, then you get swept up by the presence of God and you get born again, you give your life to Jesus, and now Jesus has dusted off the sin off your life, and you start acting right, smelling good, coming to church, praising the Lord, trying to do the right thing, obeying what the Word of God says, and then God blesses you with that man or that woman. And it's actually a good thing. You don't know how to act. Because all you know is dysfunction. Somebody say amen. Y'all looking at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you can be dysfunctional for so long, you don't know how to act right. There you go. Nevertheless, isolating is never a good response. And I just want to make a big difference. There is a difference between isolation and being alone. There is a difference between isolating and being alone. Isolating is an on-purpose, intentional movement by you to get people out of your life. Right. It's when you say, I've had enough. I don't want to return the phone call. I don't want to return the text. I don't want to like them on Facebook and follow them on Instagram. I need these people out of my life. And sometimes we do that. We isolate. We get people out of our life. Now, there's other times when we're just alone. Maybe that's people didn't treat you right and they just left you, they backstabbed you and you found yourself friendless. Maybe the army called you to move to a place called Fort Campbell and you're just alone because the people couldn't come with you. And now you find yourself here. Maybe you gave your life to Christ. You want to follow Jesus, but nobody else does. And in a sense, they left you alone. I just wanted to make that difference between those two words, because the Bible's clear that one of them is okay and one of them is not okay. Jesus often went to a place so he could be alone. He got up early in the morning and he went to be alone. He called his disciples to pray with him, but they went to sleep. So he walked a little bit further so he could be alone in the presence of God. But isolating is different. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 18. Love to read the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. It says, a man who isolates himself, what does he do? He seeks his own desire. And that man who isolates himself, he rages against all wise judgment. See, what David was doing, he was isolating himself. He sent out the soldiers. He sent out his commander. He sent out everybody so he could remain alone. And I just wanted to tell you today that God gave us groups of people in our lives for a reason. And today we're going to look at how people that God sends us are part of the plan of God in our lives. That plan is to draw us closer to people and to draw people closer to us. We may desire to be alone, but the Spirit of God is always driving us and drawing us to connect with other people. Somebody say amen to that. See, embodied inside the man King David, there was really two men. One, we saw the warrior. We saw the leader. We saw the statesman. But the other side of King David, there was what many call today, there was a secret life. Some even say a double life. And it was uncovered when he was alone. See, the rest of the story in that verse is that when he sent everybody else out, he stayed back. He was walking around and he saw a woman that he wanted. And he told somebody to go and get that woman. He ended up committing adultery. He ended up committing murder. Now, what's this very interesting, and it makes for a great Bible study, is that the husband of the woman that he was with, his name was Uriah the Hittite. Everybody say Uriah. Uriah. That's going to come in very important later on. See, there's something that's very interesting, is that God has always sent people into your life. He always sent people into David's life, and God is no respecter of persons. He is always strategizing and trying to bring people strategically into your world and into your life from the day you're born. God navigates like chess pieces. He brings people strategically into your life to point you in the direction of God, or if you get off track, to point you back in the direction of God, or if you become complacent, to propel you into the direction of God. Somebody say amen. This is what happened, and these are the three types. I'm just going to give you three simple types of people or groups that God sent into the life of David, and I believe he's also sending into our life. The first one is the truthful friends. Somebody say amen. The truth, the one who always says the truth, even when the truth is hard to handle. Even if you can't handle the truth. Remember that one? The second type is the loving friend. The loving friend. And the last one is the loyal friend. I just wanted to start off. There was a very truthful friend. His name was Nathan. Nathan was a prophet of God. Immediately after this situation, and the thing I wonder about when I read the Bible is it doesn't tell us how long of a time that after David slept with Bathsheba till Nathan showed up on the scene. There had to be a period of time. We don't know if it was a day, a week, a month, or a year that David lived this double life. He put on this mask that everything was okay. He continued the next day to lead his people. He continued the next day to give speeches, to make decisions, all while he was living this false life of trying to pretend like everything was okay, probably pretending and lying to himself that God is okay with it because I'm God's anointed. Until one day there was a man, and I love this man. This was a strong man. We all need friends like this in our life. This was a man named Nathan. He was wise. He was smart. He was a man of God. We all need people like this in our life. And the big thing, he was not afraid to tell his friend the truth. If you don't have friends that are not afraid to tell you the truth, you need to get some new friends. You need to find someone who's not afraid to look at you in the eye and say, you're going in the wrong direction. It doesn't matter if they unfriend you. It doesn't matter if they don't call you back anymore. Sometimes you have to love people enough to tell them the truth no matter how they take it. Amen. Y'all got quiet. Ooh. Even if it means you lose the friendship because you love God and you love them enough to love their relationship with God, that you choose to tell them the truth. And this is what Nathan did. He basically was so smart, he told the king a story about a man who stole something from a man who had nothing. And he said, what should happen to that man? And he basically said his neck should be wringed. He should get back, pay back. He should be dealt with immediately. And this is what we find out in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. It says, then Nathan, the truthful friend, said to David, you are the man. You are the man. He was not afraid to tell him the truth. Basically said, you're living a lie and God is not pleased with it. And because of this correction, because of what the Bible called a rebuke, it made him repent. You can write this down in your notes. This is in Psalm chapter 51. Psalm 51. This is a prayer of repentance. Immediately after Nathan said, you are the man. It was like David was cut to the heart by this truth. And he said, God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. He realized that he was in sin and he realized that he needed to turn back towards God. The second person I wanted to tell you about is the loving friend. Everybody say the loving friend. Everybody likes friends that are lovely, don't we? This guy we're going to talk about, his name is Jonathan. Now, Jonathan has an interesting backstory. The predecessor of King David was King Saul, the very first king of Israel. And very similarly, like we're talking about now, there was a group of people that congregated around King Saul. The problem was he picked the wrong friends. He picked witches and mediums to get advice and wisdom for, and that was his demise. But he had a son named Jonathan, and I don't know, it was the providence of God. It was the Lord himself that connected Jonathan and David together. And even though King Saul hated King David, somehow Jonathan and David were connected. Even though Jonathan could have been the king if David hadn't came on the scene, they were still connected. And I just wanted you to see what it says. He was so loving, it says in 1 Samuel verse 18, or chapter 18, verse 1. It says, now when he, Jonathan, had finished speaking to Saul, it says the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That's kind of deep for man talk, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever thought about this before. Like I'll tell you guys a little bit. Like in November of last year, I started working with a group of men at this church, about six of us. And it was a journey that we started to get rid of the bondage that God had spared us from, that had given us grace to deal with and overcome. And because of this period where we talk on a weekly basis, these six men, our hearts have been knit to each other. Our stories have been knit with one another. Part of my testimony is their testimony. Part of their testimony is my testimony. And our hearts have been knit with each other. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Can somebody say amen? But God sends people like this into your life for such a time as you need it. And you may have had opportunities like this and you rejected it. I'm telling you, God's not finished. He will bring you another. He'll bring you another Jonathan. He'll bring you another Nathan. The third one is interesting. This is not a person. This is actually a group. There were these guys called the 30 Mighty Men. This is like the fun stuff in the Bible when you read it. This is all the way through 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'm not going to read it all, but there was these 30 plus guys. And these were some, think of UFC kind of guys. I mean, these are some bad guys. One of these guys was so awesome. It says he went into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. One was just so bad, it said there was this Egyptian with a spear who was left-handed, and he took the spear from him and killed him with his own spear. That's a bad boy. And there's like 30 of these guys, special forces soldier guys, that can do all kinds of bad stuff. These were his 30. They were always around him wherever they went. These are the loyal friends. How many of you wish you had some loyal friends? See, but sometimes we get the backstabbers. Now they smile in your face all the time, trying to take your place. Y'all don't know that, do you? Anybody know that backstab? Come on now. Y'all need to Google that, like Spotify that. The loyal friends. Now I want you to think about this. These are men who followed him into battle at their own life, at their own risk, and they were willing to be there for him no matter what. And I just want to tell you this little story. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16. They were on the run. They were hiding out, and David started to long for home. He started to long from the precious water from this particular well. He said, man, if I could have water from that well, that would revive my faith. That would revive my thirst. That would make me feel I can keep going again. And so it says in verse 16, 2 Samuel 23, it says, three of the mighty warriors, they broke through the Philistine lines. Think about this. They broke through the enemy lines just to draw water from the well near the gates of Bethlehem. And they carried it back to David. Now, David was interesting. He said, but he refused to drink it. Now, I might have some words for David if he told me to do that and he didn't even drink it. He said, instead, he poured it out before the Lord. These guys were so loyal. They were willing to follow this guy into battle. You know, many of you guys as soldiers or as veterans, you have done this before. But are there people in your spiritual life that you have around you that can go to battle with you? When your marriage is on the brink, who's going to battle with you? When your finances are a joke, you're about to get foreclosed on, your lights are about to get cut off, the food in the fridge is very sparse, who's going to battle with you? Who's going to come to your aid? Who's going to come and be like a good country song and come and get in the truck and get there when you need them? Get there fast. Come on. Come on, champ. You know that one? I love that song. We got all kinds of diversity in our music today. See, why does God send us people like this? I was reminded this week that there was a man of God. His name is John Rohr, Pastor John Rohr. He moves in the prophetic, and he basically relays something that God wants to give you to encourage. And he sent this to me. Shortly, 10 plus years ago, when we moved, actually it was 10 years ago, September the 15th, we moved to Clarksville, Tennessee. And he shortly after that, he gave me a word from God. He said, Clarksville needs you. He said, this church needs you, and you need them. See, maybe you're here and you probably wondered, why am I here? What's going on? Maybe it's the same thing that the Lord told me. You need this place, and this place needs you. You need the men and women in this room, and they need you. God put us together. See, the thing that separates all of this is when we have pride in our life. Everybody say pride. Pride is the great divider, but pride is eroded when we have more eyes on us that know our true self. When you have people around you that see you and know you as you truly are, pride goes away. Because they can look at your face. You don't have to fake the funk to me. I know where you're weak. I know you messed up 2 years ago. I know how you failed. All you got to do is tell me the truth because I love you, but I'm not afraid to tell you the truth. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm loyal. How many wish they had some friends like that? See, that's the kind of friend that builds us, that helps us to grow in our relationship with God. It's friends like that that help us to withstand when the storms of life come, when the winds of life want to blow and knock you down. It's friends like that because you know what is bad, but our God is able. Yeah. Come on, what if you had a friend like that? I know it's horrible, but God is able. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think or imagine. That's my God. So you hang around friends like that, get around Miss Gail. Get around Keith. Get around some of these folks. Been around the things of the Lord and seen a thing or two. They will champ you up in a minute. See, the thing is, David didn't always want friends like that, and neither do we, but he always needed friends like that. Friends like that keep us honest. They get us back on track. They remind us that we are always loved. And see, eventually, because of people like that in David's life, he got back on track. Eventually, David realized that the call of God was on his life. This meant that he had a life to live. He had a tribe to belong to. He was no longer alone. He was no longer isolated. That was not even an option anymore. Now here's the thing. Because of what Jesus, this is how we bring all this back home as I'm about to close. Because of what Jesus has done for us, he has brought us nearer to God and to one another. Think about this. If you didn't know Jesus, you wouldn't be here and I wouldn't either. But because of Jesus, see, we are connected by the cross. We are inseparable. It doesn't matter if you go to India, if you go to China, we are still brothers and sisters in Christ. But because of the knowledge of God and his divine plan, we are here together in Clarksville under the same house of God. That means that he desires for us to get to know each other and do life together and become the kind of friends, the kind of people that would do life together so that we can glorify God in amazing ways. One of the ways we do that at Bethel is here, we do it in groups. We do life together. You know, I'm about to pray and close, and Pastor Lance is going to come up, but I just have to tell you again from the very beginning of this message, what God is doing today is part of the plan of God for your life. Don't miss it. The thing I know about God is he will allow you to go around the same mountain over and over and over again until your eyes open up and you realize what he's been doing. He will allow you to take the same test over and over and over again until you pass it. It took his people 40 years to do something they could have done in a few days because their hearts were not right. They were not humble. They did not want to obey what God was doing in their life. And he's saying the same thing today. Open your eyes and see what gifts I have surrounded you with. Call the body of Christ, the people of God. Father, help us today. Help us to know your word, see your word, believe your word, to understand through the life of David we can run, but we can't hide, and that you have a plan to draw us and connect us to others. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Let's give Pastor Richard a big hand clap. Tremendous champ. No, we really do want to encourage you to take a step today. You know, Pastor Richard mentioned our community groups. And we have opportunities for you to get signed up, if you did not last week, to get signed up for one of our groups. These groups are going to be resuming after Labor Day weekend. Labor Day is coming up this coming weekend. And there's multiple ways that you can do that today. First off, there's going to be a number on screen. If you can text this number, you have that graphic. GM with the number on it. There's a number on screen. That's a serve one. Not that one, sweetie. It says community groups. Jesse, go back here and find that graphic for you. There is a number. There will be here in a moment. There's a text number. Or you can go to our Facebook page. Go to our Facebook page and click the link. And that will take you to all of our groups. And what you can do is you can look at those groups. We have multiple groups meeting different times of the week. All throughout the week, we have women's groups, we have men's groups. We actually have an online-only men's group that Pastor Richard is going to lead. We have a reboot group that's talking about trauma, recovering from that. A lot of great group options there. As you're looking on your phone at these groups, if you actually turn, there's the number there on screen. Text community to that number. That will take you to the link. Or you go to our Facebook page. That will take you to the link as well. If you turn your phone over, you can see the different individuals leading these groups. And so hopefully there is a group for you. We want...